Are you ready?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to
Dramatic Catholics.
Dang, you guys have a whole thing.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Come on, we're like, what, almost 30 episodes
to
in?
Be a whole thing.
Well,
I was saying we're just 30 episodes in. So
we got this. Yeah, I think this is episode 25.
Dear Lord.
We're almost 30. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Oh, yeah, 25. We're 25 in. Mm-hmm. If you, I'm sure you know who it is, but we have a special guest today.
Who is it?
Mr. David Portugal.
DP.
Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off.
I know. It's been a minute
since
we've
had
this one.
Won't have an E next to it. This is not an explicit podcast. No. Hopefully.
So maybe. We're talking about Skittles and rainbows today.
And when we put explicit, y'all, we mean like the content.
Not the
like
speaker.
Our language.
Yeah, not the speaker.
Yeah, not our language.
Yeah, like Spotify suggests certain things. Yeah, somebody put that in one of the comments. Like, why? I hope this isn't labeled explicit just because it's a religious podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I was like, no. But that's true. Snaps like, there's people that get blocked
that report
and,
it.
And yeah, and they'll report it because it's religious content.
We're just out here trying to spread the good news.
Yeah, but certain things that we talk about, we do have to put a little E next to it. But
this time, no.
But maybe not today. We'll see.
You were the first, maybe not. You were we'll the see. First E we had to put.
We were talking about truth.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since
it
you've
been
on.
There has to be an E on a rating for that. It doesn't say anything about me.
It doesn't.
I'm just saying.
The times we live
says,
in.
Says... But the softness of the state of society.
We're soft.
No, not you all. Not you all.
We're
cross,
not soft.
Is the cross soft? I don't know. Did they hit Jesus with little belts from your robe? A soft robe. Here, Jesus, be crucified.
Go watch the Passion
hat on
again,
him?
Guys.
They put feathers on his head? No, that's... Anyway.
Anyway,
go watch the Passion again.
Just wait. We're going to talk about today. What are we going to talk
Happy
about today?
Easter.
Eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
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 It's so dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves.
So we're going to talk about scripture today because I think David made a really good point. Okay. But we have kind of like people come from different perspectives. Either you know a lot about scripture
or you don't.
And you've heard it before and we kind of write off the same stories when we hear them over and over again. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we don't know our scripture very well at all. But either way, we hope to have...
It's always an opportunity to dive into scripture because St. Jerome says ignorance to scripture is ignorance to Christ.
Yes.
Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
So let's not be ignorant.
Exactly. at least for this hour.
Yeah.
And let's dive in.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily that this will be a scripture study per se as it as much as it would be a reminder. Even to myself, that we have to stay rooted and that we have to return. We have to return to God over and over, these constant moments of conversion that he calls us to and through this relationship with him, that sometimes we become routine. Everything becomes routine.
Yeah.
And you just kind of get into a... I already know that. And yeah, I know that, whether it's cooking or cleaning or studies. Yeah.
Mm.
So, how do you want to dive into this? You want me to...
We want to do opening prayer.
Right.
And then, could you lead us in opening prayer?
Okay.
We usually ask our guests.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's begin. In the name of the
Father, the
Son,
the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, you promise that where two or more were gathered in your name as we are here, that you would send your Spirit to be with us, to guide us and lead us, that we would not be abandoned. And we ask for your Spirit, the breath of life, to speak to us and through us, as we hope to do your will. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So I chose the prodigal son as the topic of, I guess, to make the point of returning to scripture. And when I was talking to you, Delilah, talking to you about doing this, and maybe for our listeners, the prodigal son, and I know at the beginning, I said, don't shut it off. I would say that again, because this is exactly the point. The prodigal son is probably one of the most well-known parables in scripture. We hear it growing up, and it's applicable when we look at who we are as children. And so when we've heard the prodigal son, there's a tendency to kind of check out. So when I was taking my keynote classes, my studies years, many moons ago, I believe it was Father Billy Costco who invited us to take a look at the prodigal son. And he asked us not to eye roll it in our minds that, oh my gosh, I already know the prodigal son, and I'm gonna start thinking about what I'm doing later. Because the point he was trying to make, and it's the point I care to share here with us, is that when we hear scripture being read, there's a tendency to check out and say, oh, I already know that. And what Father shared there, and I'll share here, is that maybe when we take a look at this scripture, and we're going to read it right now, but maybe we look at it from the perspective of we've grown. Right before we came on to recording, I was sharing, and Esme was sharing, that you hadn't heard the prodigal son, like, growing up.
Yeah, like, I recently just heard of it, like, not that long ago, maybe 2 years ago.
So maybe grown, you've heard.
Yeah.
And then I made the point, and I said, well, I went to Catholic school. So,
I didn't.
Right. And I said, there's blessing in that as well. Because as a Catholic school student, I think there was a lot that I, myself and a lot of my classmates, and I can only speak of going to Catholic school back in the 70s and 80s, but even in raising our own kids in Catholic schools, the challenge there is a lot of Catholic school students have a tendency to know it all already. And that's one of the worst things that you can ever say or do. If for those of you who are starting a new job, here's some life advice. don't walk around with your hands in your pockets, and when someone's trying to show you something, don't utter the words, oh yeah, I know. And hey, so this is how we do. Oh yeah, I know, I've done that before. Because then that just shows that you're not teachable. Mm. And I think for our young Catholic school students, I find them harder to reach with the gospel message, with the kerygma, because they've heard it already. Oh yeah, I already know. And in my experience in ministry, it's been those who have never heard the good news. I'm doing a lot of adult faith formation these days, and I see it a lot with adults. But when I was doing a lot of youth ministry, I saw public school students a lot easier to feed with the word of God, with prayer, with sharing the good news that God loves you, and he can forgive and will forgive anything that you've fallen into. So I think there's sometimes a Catholic education would give you the head knowledge, but not necessarily the invitation to the heart knowledge of knowing Jesus. So,
let's break that down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably me and Esme, though. Like, we grew up in public school, and we're not used to hearing, you know, the word.
Yeah.
And so coming here, it was like we're feeding for it. So, and then not like growing up in a school, too. Like, it's like when you go to school, you're like, oh, like, you're already in this disposition. Like, yeah, like, I don't want to learn this. I don't want to be here. Like, it's a different environment versus like, we're coming here voluntarily. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't like youth group isn't school, you know, you're already. Yeah. There's already a different taste in your mouth when you're going to school and learning about Jesus.
Yeah.
I even find that now, like going to school, like growing up here and then going to study theology is really hard. Cause I'm like, this is kind of not boring, but like, you know, like the documents I'm reading, like they're not like fun to read. They're interesting, like, because you see like the nuts and bolts of why we do things in the church and why, like, you know, why is, like, the Pope important and, like, the magisterium and all these things like that, like, all the fancy, like, terms. But it definitely does kind of, like, it's worn me down within the past couple years, because it's like, well, this isn't very entertaining, and it's taken a toll on my faith at times, because I'm like, I don't want to go to the chapel. I just spent, like, hours reading about Jesus. Like, I don't want to go, like, sit in front of Jesus after, like, I kind of did that. Like, yeah. I kind of felt like I was doing that this whole time. Yeah. So it's definitely a challenge, like, between school and, faith.
That's a great topic for, because, I mean, we talk about it all the time, working in the, for the church, or working in the church, even volunteering in ministry and doing those things. And then when your family isn't about it is one thing, but when they're about it, my wife is prayed up. Her mom passed late last year, and she's morphed into the prayer life of her mother, and it's beautiful. But it, I'm trying to play a video game and she's like reading scripture. Like, I've been at the church all day, babe. Like, I just want to veg out. So, babe, I love you if you're listening.
We swear we love Jesus.
But it's real.
We swear we do.
But it is real.
Yeah. We should talk about that.
I felt that.
And don't come for me.
don't come for me, man.
Okay, so let's get into this. The prodigal son. So the gist of the prodigal son, if you haven't heard it, and if you had, then you'll remember that it is really, it's a parable. So Jesus is telling this story about a father who had two sons, and one of the sons asks for his inheritance before the father dies, which in the time of the Jesus's time and the Jews, they would have looked at that as such a disrespect for to even ask or think of your inheritance before your father has passed.
It's like a how slap rude. In the face.
Right. So there's that son, and then the other son is faithful and stays. And then the what we're going to hear and read is how the father responds to this situation. So what I would invite you into is, as we read this, if you would put yourself not just in the obvious, and maybe the obvious place would be in the prodigal son who goes off and sins and then runs back to the father. But there's also another son, and he doesn't necessarily do that. And he's in this parable. Jesus is teaching us with his character as well. And then obviously the father. So we'll break that down. So again, this is an invitation to look at scripture from a different point, and using my life growing up hearing it as a child, and then hearing it as a teenager, and I'm sure many, many, many times over and over, and I know I've checked out, but I realize that I need to hear the word of God. I need to hear Jesus share this parable with me as a grown man. And so wherever you are in life today, this is for you. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Again, that's Luke 15, 11 through 32. The parable of the prodigal son and his brother. And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that falls to me.' And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly fed on the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? But here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and went to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, Behold, these many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a kid goat that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf? And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is fitting to make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. What do you think, Esme?
I know, that's a lot.
Think of where I'm at right now. I'm like, wait, who am I? Mm-hmm. Like, wait, you're like placed yourself in somebody. But I feel like I'm like a little bit of everything. Not the father, but like between the two sons. I've only like reflected on this passage like once or twice in my life. Mm-hmm. But like reading it for the third time, it's like...
It's hitting a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which of the brothers do you think you can resonate with right now?
The one who stayed.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the other one, it's more of like a... It's not too much, but I like a little bit of... I feel what he feels a little. Mm-hmm. But not to the extent of like the other brother who stayed, and it's like, really?
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of what about me, what do you think, Delilah?
So, David? What about me?
That's crazy. Because, like, that's a running joke.
What about
that needs context.
I know.
That needs context.
Yeah, context. David has always brought me back to this passage throughout the past few years of my life. Because I think, yeah, within the past few years, I've completed what I thought, like, God wanted. You know, like, I graduated from college. I work for the parish. I'm, like, the DRE here, like, all those things. And I still feel unfulfilled. And I've been feeling that for a while now. And it's hard to be content. I definitely resonate with... But David always brings me back to this scripture. He's like, you're like the older son, and I am the oldest in my family.
Well, there's that.
There's that too. Because I have said those things. I'm like, bro, like, well, you know, at Jesus, like, where's, like, what else do you have for me? Like, I've been here, and I haven't, like, messed up so badly before, you know, as I look at, like other people. I haven't left the church. I've always been very, like, devout and faithful. I don't do bad things. You know, I'm labeled, like, as a goody good, you know. But I look back now, and I kind of think, what if I just
have done that, because like Jesus could forgive that too. Like if he's gonna forgive, you know, either way, like why not just be reckless and you know, squander my inheritance and do all those things. And I shared that with my mom the other day, not about this passage, but of how I've felt like that lately. Like, why not just give it all up and just, you know, if Jesus is going to forgive me anyway. But, yeah, she's like, I think you would have felt more regret having done those things than that would have outweighed me feeling regret mm-hmm. now. And I was like, I think that is very true, but also I wouldn't, I love Jesus too much to like do that to him. It is very much like a relationship. Yeah. And I respect and I know that he has a plan for me. Yeah. So reading that last part, when I do read this scripture, I am reminded of that at the end. He says, everything I have is yours. Mm. And he tells the older son that. So it's like he didn't not give him those things. He just assumed like, well, you're doing more for your younger son than he is for his older son. But he was like, no, like, and my own dad tells me that, like,
yeah,
he says everything, like nothing is my, when I joke around, like, oh, that's yours. He's like, no, everything is ours. Like everything. He's like, this house isn't mine. It's ours. You know, when I invite, and he's talking about for like, why didn't you give me the fattened calf to like hang out with my friends, you know? And I think of my own dad, he always welcomes anybody into his house, yeah. You know, like my friends love being around my dad. And yeah, I'm definitely reminded of this scripture, like everything. Yeah, I didn't have to leave, like everything's here. You know.
Just so you know, we're all sitting here trying not to cry.
Yeah.
I saw Esme's face when I asked her. The conviction is real.
Yeah.
You know, as you were sharing that, I thought of I love analogies, but this is one. This one is wild. I thought about credit score. You know, like you don't know what you don't know. And by the time I realized what a credit score was in my young adult years, I had already ruined it. You know, like, I didn't know until like I got a credit card. I spent that and I went and got, you know, a sound system on my car on credit and then I didn't pay it. But also, what are they going to do? And then I paid it and then it went bad and all that. Right. And then when I was grown and wanted to start a family, and then like, yeah, your credit score is really low. I'm like, what's that? So I know some of the
that's
things
like
that
Esme, what she said, I didn't know taxes were due April certain days.
I had to file for an extension.
Her first year.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
But
that's, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, but are you done with your analogy?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess I am. Because I guess back to Delilah's point of when you, so then you repair your credit score, your credit, you get your credit score up, and now it's just a fight to stay, to have your credit score high, and it's important, and it, you know, it's almost like dignity, mm-hmm. because without it, you can't be, you know, at your best of things of buying a home, and you need a new car, and, you know, instead of needing co-signers and a place to stay and those things, you know, I mean, that's called growing up. So I think like when the father says that, it's like you've always been with me. Mm. All I have is yours. It's like your credit score is up there. You have an 850. Yeah. Your brother's at a 5.
Why would you want to mess that up?
He said, be for real.
That was my analogy.
No, but I work very closely with Delilah. Like, your dad is... I love your dad.
Well, Bonnie.
Yeah. Bonnie.
And just hearing you share that, like, you've shared this before, like, in the office. But hearing you share that again, like, it just made me, empathize with you. Because it's like, dang, like, how does she feel? Like, how does that, like... It must be tiring.
Yeah.
To, like, feel like everyone else around you is just getting what you're not getting. Yeah. And it's like, thank God your faith is like, yeah. You know, yeah. Because I feel like that's like a breaking point for a lot of people in their faith when mm-hmm. there is no relationship there. It's like, well, God isn't doing anything for me, so this isn't real.
Yeah.
This isn't true.
Yeah.
But like seeing your conviction, your faith, it's beautiful because it's like, you know what, like I might not have it right now, but like I know he has a plan for me. Yeah. And it's the trust that you have in him that's beautiful to see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that gets us to the point of like our faith is not our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this relationship with Jesus is for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the hope when we see God loving on people. It's like God is faithful. He's good. Yeah. Some of the points I wanted to pull out of and thank you for you both for sharing that, because that's your life, right? And you're sharing your own that realness. I think it's important to note a few things out of this parable, and then maybe we'll take a little look at some of the points that Jesus is making. Remember, Jesus, I mean, why wouldn't we want to read this over and over? Can you imagine, like, your great-grandfather, who you never met, wrote stories about, like, coming out here and mm-hmm. how it was? Why wouldn't you read those love letters? If he wrote you a love letter, right? Mm-hmm. My dearest grandchild, maybe he died when you were, Esme, we'll use you. Okay, maybe you had a grandfather and he died, like, while your mom was 6 months pregnant with you, but he wrote you a letter. And you'd read that over and over again. And sometimes we're talking about Bibles and having to like have so many of them, and because we become about it, and then we're like, we don't even dive into them sometimes. And So in Jesus is telling this story. And there's so much here to unpack. And we won't turn this into a scripture study as much as we will just about the call back into the word. Mm-hmm. Really, and if you're looking to read scripture, I invite you to look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because it's here that we get to hear, see Jesus and fall in love. And then the rest will want to get go deeper in once we know him and have this relationship with him. As I was prayerfully reflecting on what points, one of the points that came from this was what we see from the Father, and neither one of you are fathers and never will be.
Well, you probably
lose your faith and go.
Like, I can if I want to now.
I guess you can. I guess it's an option.
Did you not know I can choose now?
Don't get me started. Who are you to put? Anyway, but as a father, as an earthly father myself, I now see myself as this father, because I do have two sons, and my relationship with them is so similar, and I only see the similarities more than I see the differences, because how I see them is I see them how I love them, even in the frustrating moments that then they're further apart now because they're older, they're men, they're mid-30s now, but even as they were growing up, neither one of them ever, I never loved one more than the other.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're listening and you thought you were the favorite, you weren't. But you know that now because they both have children and they both have sons. But I think it's important to note that, and so let it real quick, because I see myself as this father. If my son said, "Hey dad, I want what's mine. I want it now. I don't want it when you're dead." I'm like, well, let's take a look and let's sell the house and everybody gets a piece. Like, I would, if that's what you want,
mm-hmm.
I would do that. But some points in the scripture, it's down where, I'll get there. Sorry, some point came. But the father, so it says back down on the middle, we're right in the middle, where he rose and came to his father. So we're in verse 20. He rose and came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, so he wasn't in his father's land, right? Or he wasn't at home yet, because he was yet at a distance. Jesus is telling us a story. Mm-hmm. He could have just summarized, and it's a pretty quick story, even for Jesus, right? But I'm going to make it long. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him. In some translations, it says his father spied him. His father to spy, to look, right? His father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That line is so important because the father wasn't at home in the kitchen. The father wasn't taking a nap. His father saw him, which meant he was looking for him. Mm-hmm. He was on a lookout. He was waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was waiting for him to return. And then when he did see him, he had compassion and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. He didn't wait for the apology. He didn't wait for a story. He didn't wait to see if he was contrite. He just ran and loved him. Mm-hmm. And this is the unconditional love that Jesus is trying to teach us of the Father, which brings me to this point of being a father myself. I know that love. I would say as in your young lives, you probably don't have many unconditional love relationships outside of your parents, right? You have to love your mom and dad because you can't not love them. Even when you don't understand or even if you're hurt by things they may have said or things they have done or maybe things didn't turn out the way you would have hoped, you still love mom.
Mm.
And you still love dad.
Yeah.
You love them.
As my mom's calling me.
Is your mom calling you? Tell mom, recording mom. but that's an unconditional love.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm going to ask you quickly off the cuff, name another person you love unconditionally.
My sister.
Unconditionally?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
My brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's harder. Though.
Yeah.
It's hard. But I would say there could be a chance that there might be something she could do that you might have to distance your relationship from her.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So you still love them, right? But they're, and I'm not denying you don't have unconditional love, right? But look at where you're looking at. You're looking at the family.
Yeah.
Right? Name me a friend who has your unconditional love.
No.
Unfortunately.
Did you say Eileen?
No, I said unfortunately.
Oh, sorry, Eileen. If you were listening,
sorry, Eileen.
No, I'll love.
Either one of you.
Either one of you. I got two friends named Eileen.
So the unconditional love of the Father. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us, which jump from that unconditional love of the Father on earth is only found in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, right?
It's only that,
so you don't have it. I mean, Esme, you and Christopher are dating, but yes. there's conditions.
Yeah.
Right? Yep.
No doubt.
Yes. So that's not an unconditional love. I've been married for over 30, with Lamar, I'm sorry, but we're about 37 years, I think, right around there. 36 years.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer. I'm going to go with that. I'm a husband. I'm not supposed to know exactly. That's not my job. But anyway, a lot of years. And I would say that the love that Lamar and I have for each other is conditional. It's not unconditional. It is conditional. I can't go start another family somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's a condition, right? So if unconditional love that Jesus is trying to teach us of the Father, which... this is where the reconciliation, this is where mercy is poured out because of the true repentance. This is where we can be one with God again. On earth, the only example of unconditional love that a person can have is in the family, which, surprise, is the biggest attack of Satan is on the family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we take a look at the family being under attack, and some of the obvious stuff, right? It's separation, it's divorce, it's infidelity, it's addictions, and all those things that we, it's sin that we as human beings fall prey to. But it is Satan who's trying to destroy the family because he's trying to undo a vision for children, especially to have unconditional love. So it's why it's important that dad is home.
Mm.
This is why a child has the right. Every child has the God-given right to have both his or her mother and father in their lives at home every single day. That's God's plan.
That's
God's plan for life and love is the family. But that's the biggest attack. And so what happens after that's that's not the norm anymore, then society says, well, that might be normal for you, but it's not normal for me because I didn't grow up with both my parents. And so we call that, what do we call that? Broken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in a broken home. And I'm sure we're at a place in society where we can't say those things anymore. That's offensive. How dare you judge my, just because you didn't grow up in a same situation doesn't mean that mine's
broken and yours isn't. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think when we look at that, Jesus is trying to tell us that this unconditional love of the Father is, this is God the Father in this parable. It's an earthly Father, but the Father's love is unconditional. I kind of laugh when I read this because I think Father Billy was the one, Father Billy Costco, because he's very dramatic. You should have Father Billy on here.
Yeah, we should, because he is dramatic.
He is dramatic. Love Father Billy with the flaming red hair.
Where is he at? St. Henry?
St. Henry.
St. Henry, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to take a drive
he's
up there.
He's down the street.
Down the street.
Down the street.
So Father Billy Costco or any of his parishioners or anybody close, tell him to call David Portugal and we'll put this all together, make it happen for you, Father. But envision this part. So let's back up on the scripture. And so it's when he blew everything, right? And then he went and got a job, and they had him feed the swine, had him feed pigs, right? And he would have ate some of it. They would have gave it to him. Can you imagine feeding the pigs and you're hungry and you're like, dang, this pig's
even
eating.
This pig's eating better than I am. That's tragic. That's low.
Yeah, he probably said this fool right here, this pig. But no one gave him any. But when he came to himself, and you know my notes from years ago, when he came from himself, it's when he came to himself, when he came to his senses,
mm-hmm.
is what that means. When he came to his senses, he said, I know what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go home, and I'll tell my that's what I'll do. I'll go home, and I'll tell my father that I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, that's just gonna be gonna look weird. So I don't know if they had mirrors back then, but I imagine he got in front of a mirror and practiced it, right?
It's a stone.
He looks into the lake.
A stone. The lake. Find his reflection. He looked. You know how you practice things, right?
Yeah.
You practice in the mirror? No, I will not. Yes, I will. And you smile, right? So imagine practicing in your image and looking at your image and saying, oh, I have to be contrite. Which I'm hungry. I am contrite, right? And so he's practicing because he says right here, I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'll say. Let me add this because I want him to forgive me because how can he forgive me? I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Yeah, that'll hit him. That'll hit him. And if that doesn't, I'll hit him with this line. Father, treat me as one of your hired servants.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to say. So he gets up, right? And he arose and he came to his father. And so if you jump ahead, he's telling his father, this is verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Man, I love scripture because this reminds me of Mama Mary. Remember the wedding at Cana?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When she brings the Jesus over, she says, son, there's no Jesus. There's no more wine.
No vino.
And what does he say to her?
What does he say? Woman, what business of this is yours? Something like that, right?
Of mine.
Of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. My time has not yet come.
Sexy
right?
Jesus.
And then there's like the next moment, there's no transition in scripture. Cause then she turns mm-hmm. to those who were with him, his homies, and says, take the jug. She tells him, take the jugs and do as he says. But she never debates with him.
Mm-mm.
She never says.
She proceeds.
Well, right. she turns and she gives direction. Look at this line in that light. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Right? He poured it out. But the father said to his servants, and I snap, snap, quickly, bring the best robe. And put it on him and put a ring on his hand, which, by the way, ring was a sign of royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the next part and shoes on his feet. Why? Because the servants during this time were barefoot. So he's not a servant. He's got a robe. He's got a ring and he's got Nikes. He's got shoes, right? And then he, like, the son's not even asking for all this. And he says, and there's more. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry, have a party. For this, my son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to party.
Yep. Like good Catholics do.
Yeah. Ain't no party like a Catholic party.
Because a Catholic party don't stop.
What? So yeah, I think when we look at scripture, if we look at just this parable, we can see there's so much there. And not just in the characters, but really to take some time and to break it open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really ask myself in this parable, for like, where do I fit in this, Lord? Where do I fit in this story? You know, which brother am I? Let me ask both of you. Mm. This is for you to respond. Which brother, because this is my note in here. This had to be like 12 years ago. Which brother would you want to be your father now? Which Ooh. Brother would you want to raise you?
Oh, the one that stayed.
Well, can I say my actual father is the one who left?
Mm.
Yeah. So my dad, he, like me, was mm-hmm. like youth group, you know, church involved, all the things. And then after like that whole thing with my mama, like he left the church. And once he started he put me in catechism classes, like he was that parent. Didn't come to the parent meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you're getting exposed. But
you did a good job.
But you did.
You really did.
Mm-hmm.
She's Love amazing.
You. Love you, Dad.
Oh.
But it wasn't until I was a junior in high school that he came back to the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. came back to the church, and you know, he was the prodigal son who left. Mm-hmm. So that would be my father.
Oh.
Yeah, because he set an example. Like, if any time in your life, like, God forbid, but like if there's a time where you just walk away from the church, that God will receive you.
Amen.
In the mm-hmm. same way, like, he's not gonna disregard you. He's just waiting for you to come back.
Yeah.
And my dad tells me that all the time, especially because I work for the church, and he's just like, you were like, remember this.
Oh.
He's yeah. like, look at me, like, I came back.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
So Delilah?
Delilah, which brother you want to be your father?
Yeah, I mean, I still think like the one that stayed. Like, because when I do think about my own dad, like, he's just so chill and unwavering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just unwavering. Yeah, there's no change. Yeah. There's consistency. And like, me being me, like, I need someone stable. Yeah. And like, because I'm not like, I need to be rooted in like something that is safe and consistent, and like I know I can go to without having to question things, or like, are you gonna leave, are you gonna, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when I think of my own dad and my mom, I know my mom is listening to this, and she that's the running joke with my mom. She's like, my dad, you always say my dad this, my dad.
Well, girl about that.
He's kind of a daddy's girl.
I love my mom too.
But yeah, you do.
But
you
this is about fathers. This is about fathers. So I'm talking about my father right now.
Silly, I tried.
I was like, we'll talk about you.
Are you Martha or Mary?
Bro, I'm Martha. Tragically, I'm Martha.
All the time.
All the time. But yeah, I would say that. You know? Yeah, he's very much that person for me.
Yeah.
Love that.
You know, and as both of you share that, I think it's interesting, but it's why you choose. It's that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
In a future spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And and we can definitely see that with Chris. Like, he's constantly coming back to the Father.
Yeah. As he's in the chapel
right now. Yeah, he was in there when I left. Yeah. I wrote that I would have wanted the prodigal son, because he knows firsthand the mercy of mm-hmm. the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And maybe I can get my
My dad will listen to this. Because I think it's in that relationship. Yeah, we should come and talk about that one day.
Yeah, that was going to be my suggestion too. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to be your daddy's.
Your daddy's.
I got to stay tuned for the next podcast with David. Yeah. I was just going to ask which one.
I know. Yeah, well.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but knowing that I had a chance to be, like as you're sharing that, I'm like, I had a chance to be that for my father, to tell him that God loves you, like, it's all good.
Yeah.
Praise be to God, I turned out, I guess it's self-serving, I turned out well.
You turned out so good, David.
Thank you, somebody can say it. Anybody want
to? He was looking at both of us.
I know. You did.
I did.
No, agreed.
You did. All right.
You did.
Yeah. But, so, I guess because we're coming up on time here, I do want to, I guess, to make an invitation or extend an invitation to the sacrament of reconciliation. Mm. One of the things that I love about St. John Vianney over the years, obviously he's preparing people for the sacraments, but more importantly, to share Jesus with them. They come already. We're Catholics, right? We don't go door to door. You know, hey, props to those people of faith that do, because that's what we're called to do. We're called to go out and share God with others. But typically here, it's people who have had an encounter with God at some point in their lives. So being able to share Jesus with people is something that is so intoxicating. It keeps me here. It's something it's a beautiful thing to introduce people to the Lord and the sacrament. So the sacrament of reconciliation is one of my favorite days here. I poked my head in when you had your kids here, Delilah, for Ari, and they were making their first reconciliation. And I was there with Penelope and Alyssa, and watching Karen, Alyssa's mom. So Alyssa's a teen. So Alyssa, if you're listening, shout out to you. But we were all there. There's a little cheerleading section in the back. Just so excited to see you come out of the confessional and walk up before the altar and kneel down and pray your penance. But what a beautiful symbol of faith that has been handed down. And for those of you who, I know we've had Penelope on here, but Penelope's mom passed away last year. Her story of Penelope's mom dropping her off, and you're going to go and get baptized, and Penelope not wanting to, and then now Penelope's one of the biggest Catholics in the diocese.
Love her.
Oh, yeah. She's out doing the Lord's work today. And then, like, with Karen, Penelope's sister, and Alyssa, as a teen receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, seeing her come out and smiling. And I asked her the other day, what was that like? And she said it was amazing. And Penelope said, she said she wants to go all the time with her. That invitation is to all of us. God's mercy is there. It's why Jesus shares this parable, because no matter how far away we stray or how serious we think our sins are, God's mercy is always available to us if we sincerely seek it. Yeah. That's Miguel said that you can't out-sin God's grace.
Mercy.
God's mercy.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't out-sin God's mercy. And then on the point of repentance, that in our Catholic tradition, that repentance involves like not just feeling sorry for our sins, but also making a firm commitment to turn away from them and live according to God's will. So the part I see here with people is that they want to fix it because they broke it, the relationship. But they got to get out of whatever mess they're in before they can come to God, before they can come back to church. And that's not how that works.
Yeah.
You need God's grace. You know, like, there's something you're missing because you can't break that habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's God's grace. And that comes in the sacraments. So, it's kind of like saying, I want to get in shape before I go back to the gym.
I'm done.
Yeah. Hey, we were at Lamar and I, little side note, we were outside, we were eating over by Planet Fitness on Avondale. We were eating in the car. And, in the car, yeah, because they were closing. We went and got ceviche. So we're sitting there and we're eating, and then the Planet Fitness is there, and the people are walking in and out. And they're not really like physically fit. They're all like overweight. Fitness.
Yeah.
I know. But yeah. I told her, I said, why would I want to go to a gym where everyone's
I'm
overweight?
So weak.
She was like, wow, babe, you're judging them? She goes, at least they're in there. I'm just saying.
As you're, like, as you're sitting there eating in the car.
Hey, but ceviche is, healthy, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, it's not fried. Anyway, don't judge me as I judged other people.
Wow. That's why I'm never going to the gym.
I know, right? Because there's going to be people in the
parking lot like David. I mean, like, she's not even fit. Why is she going to the gym?
Well, because that's the the misnomer is that you're supposed to have it all together before you can, like, you're supposed to be fit before you go to the gym, because I want to go to the gym looking fat, right? So, but that's where you go to the gym to get fit. So that was a really bad analogy, but it was good. It was also good.
But it was good.
It was good.
It was bad,
because,
but it was good.
Because sometimes, and I know I have people in my own life that they won't come to church. They won't go to confession,
yeah,
because they got to fix it first. They mm-hmm. got to, mm-hmm. I get in that too. Sometimes I, oh my gosh, I made a mess of this. I got to fix this before I take it to him, because he's going to be asking me. But man, I just read The Prodigal Son, and the father never said, are you sure you're staying?
Mm.
Are you sure you're good?
Mm-hmm. Are you sure you're not going to do it again?
Yeah, because I still have some stuff here, and you want half of that. That's your brother's, you know? Like, he doesn't have any of that. Yeah. There's none of that conversation.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
He says, you're here. And he calls everybody, and even the servants are happy, right? When the servant had, the brother says, hey, what's going on? And he goes, hey, your brother, he's here. Like, my brother? Yeah, he's here, and your dad killed the fatted calf. We're having a party. And the servants are happy.
Yeah.
So I just see that as like the angels and the saints, yes, right?
Like, it's a whole celebration.
Yeah, like he's like here. She's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's back. So there's the invitation to the sacrament of reconciliation, because in our faith as Catholics, that forgiveness is free. It's there for the taking, because that price was already paid. It sounds like it's a cliche. It was paid on the cross, but it's not a cliche. It's a real thing. Jesus paid the price already. Your forgiveness is already paid for. You just got to come and ask for it.
Yeah. It's not cliche. It's true.
It's so true.
And we should stop doing it. It sounds so cliche.
It does.
But it's like,
let's
normalize. Not with saying it's cliche when we're talking about the love of Jesus, because it's not cliche. It's truth.
It is.
And if you think it's cliche or cringe, like, work on that, because it's true.
Shut this off right now. No.
Let's normalize not putting cliche in front of God's love, because it's not cliche. It's freely given, like you said.
Yeah.
Just a little. That was my side note. Is it triggered?
But, and there's always this part. That also calls us to the forgiveness that we seek from God is going to call us, the more we go and the more we experience that, mm-hmm. The better we will be at being dispensers of God's grace and his forgiveness by forgiving others, mm-hmm. right? Because it's easy to go and run to the Father. I've sinned against you and of heaven, and I'm not worthy of this, but you can make me worthy. And then he says, "And go out and make disciples of all nations." Mm-hmm. He goes, I forgive you, but now go forgive your cousin.
Yeah.
Go forgive your brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't know what yeah. And I love the scripture, because he just turns and doesn't mm-hmm. ask for the story, just the sin, the contrition. I'm sorry. Let's go. Yeah. Let's have a party. Let's make merry. We should put shirts that say, like, make merry.
They'd be like, Merry Christmas?
M-E-R-R-Y.
M-E-R-R-Y.
But we have to go and share that, right? We've got to share that with others, because God wants to love other people.
For sure.
And he wants to do it through us. So, so reconciliation.
When can I go?
Yeah, they can come here, St. John Vianney, Tuesday afternoons, 4 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
And Saturdays after the 8 o'clock mass.
Yes.
And if you haven't been to St. John Vianney, shout out to the young priest that we have here. And Father Limos is healing, but he's also young at heart. But yeah. we have Father David Holm is our pastor. And Father Andrew, our associate pastor and in residence and director of Andre House, is Father Brian Kennedy. And I tell you, you can stop any of the three if they're in the parking lot and they're trying to get from one place to another. If you're in desperate need of God's grace in the sacrament of reconciliation,
I say this, and hopefully don't get me in trouble, but I do know them, and I know they would love to hear your confession. They'd love to give you that gift of absolution, but try to keep that on the days that we do have for regular maintenance on Tuesdays and Saturdays. If you've been away for a while, if it's been a long while, or if you've really are struggling with something, you can also call the parish, 623-932-3313. Or sjvaz.net. You can make an appointment, and that's what I would say. If you've been away from, if you haven't been to confession in 15, 20 years, just make an appointment. Don't get in the line. Don't hog it up for everybody else. Just make an appointment. See one of them. They'll make that happen for you, because you're gonna want to walk and talk through some of that that has happened over the years. But it doesn't cost anything other than you making that time to make that happen. And they want to do that for you. So please. And the last part on that is, if you don't know how to go to confession, hit us up. Google it. Write it down. And if you can't do any of that, then you walk. And I'll say this to for our three priests here. You can walk up to them, bless yourself in front of, as you go into the sacrament of reconciliation, bless yourself and say, "Bless me, Father, for it's been 20 years since my last confession, and I'm really nervous, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say." Just tell them that. "I'm nervous," if you are, "and can you help me?" And they will walk you through the sacrament of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for sharing all of that. I think we forget, like, the word is living, you know, like,
yes.
Jesus became flesh. Like, this isn't just like a book, you know, it is a love letter written specifically for us. And just as, like, we can't know, like, the person, like, we love fully, you know, like, there's just going to be this constant, like, unveiling. There's always going to be something to be said. Like, scripture's always going to be able to feed us and nourish us in ways that we might not be able to fathom right here, right now. Like, it's a relationship, and we can always go back to scripture and keep learning something and growing deeper in love with the Father. So,
amen.
Yeah. So thank you for coming on this time.
Your wisdom.
This was good.
You're welcome. I'm here. I mean, y'all can, you know.
He's always there.
I'm just
always
here. You know, if you ever need.
You're like, "We're going to go podcast." He's like, "Okay."
It's nice not to look in through the window and go, "Gosh, I wish I was on the podcast."
I know. We made that one episode with you. We're like, all right.
It's just that one, TBH, was so long to edit. It took me a very long time. I have to have time
to edit David's.
Talk too much.
No, sorry.
No, it was good stuff. It's just the first.
Sorry, not sorry.
Send me to instigate.
The first time you would, like, start a story, and then it didn't. There was a couple times where it didn't get to the end of it, and then we started talking about something else.
It's
and
a lot of tangents.
Yeah, it was like, it was really
but
hard
good
to follow.
Tangents.
They were good. This was good. This was perfect.
This is why I'm never coming back.
No.
Whatever. You know what you were getting.
I know.
We do. And we appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We'll have you 10 episodes, 15 episodes later.
I guess I'll be on in February of next year.
You know, you're still like number in our top 10,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, you are.
Yay.
For
The topic. Praise God.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Let's see. Let me look.
Let's do it again.
Your number.
Did you do part two?
Yeah. What truths need to be talked about right now?
Yeah.
You're number four.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're number four. You're episode six. Your truth or his truth. If you didn't listen, go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this. But
see his face.
I know.
I have a face for podcast. Get it?
Yeah. That's like when they would say you have a face
for radio.
It's not a compliment.
Esme's just staring at I don't understand that one. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
Would you like to lead us in closing prayer?
Sure, if it's not too long.
Keep it short and sweet.
Okay. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, thank you for your joy. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for the hope that comes with you and your love. We ask that lives, beginning with ours, would be changed, that you would call us deeper into your life with you, We know that you care more about our transformation than you do about conversion. We will have moments and moments and moments of conversion, but you desire our transformation, and you desire to be at the center of that, and you deserve to be at the center of that because we are yours. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we will.
Oh!
Wait, is there a sign off?
Yeah.
How do we say it? I want to say it too.
Sometimes we're on point.
Oh, you could say it.
Yeah.
So, well, we say it.
And we'll see you next time on
Dramatic Catholics.
Yeah.
Insert like music.
No, Dramatic Catholics. Dramatic Catholics.
How everyone say it.
Dramatic. No, that's. Ooh.
You're so dramatic.
You're so dramatic.
You are dramatic. You know, this podcast was inspired by you.
Because I'm dramatic.
You're so dramatic.
I am not dramatic. I'm
you're
realistic.
Sensitive.
I am sensitive. Thank you. I am. Thank you, Esme. You're getting a raise.
Okay.
I'm spoiled.
You're spoiled.
I'm spoiled.
No, Delilah's spoiled.
I'm not. All right. Anyway, we'll see you next time on
Dramatic Catholics.
Bye, guys.
Bye.